our names. And sometimes, I don't know, how many of you are named after a relative? That you know, there's your mom. A few are. Anybody named after famous people? Any of you become a famous person? Just not right. We're given names for a reason. And I think about my own children, and sometimes they may seem silly, but the name just strikes with you. And I know our son Jason, we've just seen Jason in the audience, that movie, and I love that. I don't know that name, Jason, but I haven't heard that one much. Nobody's going to have that name. We call him Jason. When he was in school, he had every class 2, 3, 4 Jasons. I guess they all saw the movie. And then I love the story of Heidi. And so our daughter became Heidi. And that one's not quite as common, which is nice. But we all have reasons for the names that we give our children. Sometimes it's because of an ethnic origin, which is why those very unusual names you sometimes hear out there. There was a family in Corvallis, Montana, with the last name C. I share this one with you. I just love that. They had 8 children. And I learned later on it was the father in all his wisdom who decided to do this. Here are the names. Rosemary, no big deal, right? Caraway. Rye. Dill. Seriously. Sage. Here comes the really crazy ones. Coriander and cardamom. Those poor kids. Here's what's really funny. Well, pregnant with her 8th child, Mrs. C. divorced her husband. She named her last child Frank. So that's how I knew who it was who named the children. What a way to grow up. Anyway, Coriander. Interesting. In biblical times, you know, names were very important. In the Old Testament especially, a name would describe the essence of a person's character. A name meant something. Your name not only described who you were, but what you were meant to become. Not what your parents meant you to become, but what God meant you to become. Keep that in mind when we hear Jacob's encounter with God. You probably know the story of Jacob. He was a twin. His brother Esau was born first. And in this time, the firstborn son, whether it's a twin or otherwise, received the blessing of the father. Which means they don't get the inheritance. But they received the father's blessing. And at some point in time, when they get older, they go to their father. The father puts his hand on their head and gives them the blessing, the official blessing. Jacob was very jealous of Esau. And so if you know the story at all, you know that eventually Jacob stole his brother's blessing. And he did it because his father was blind. And Jacob went as Esau, and that's who his father thought he was. Well, after this happened, Esau was so angry, he was going to kill his brother. And so the mother, Rebecca, who really mollycoddled, was that a word for her? She was overprotective of Jacob, her second born, because he's the youngest, I guess. And so she told Jacob that Esau was after him, he better run, which he did. And he went on the run for 20 years. For 20 years, Jacob did not go home because he was afraid. But 20 years later, he decided to go home. He decided to go home and make amends with his family, especially with his brother. Now, on the journey, Jacob found himself at the Jabbok River. He was wrestling with, well, here's the story. It's on the back of your bulletins if you'd like to follow along. Here's the story from Genesis chapter 22. During the night, Jacob rose and crossed the Jabbok River at the crossing, taking with him his 2 wives, his 2 slave girls, and his 11 sons. He sent his family and everything he had across the river. So Jacob was alone. And a man came and wrestled with him until the sun came up. Now Jacob did not know who this man was, interestingly enough. When the man saw he could not defeat Jacob, did you hear that? We know that man was God. And he could not defeat Jacob, really? He struck Jacob's hip and put it out of joint. I think he defeated him, don't you? One way or the other, I think he did. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go. The sun is coming up." But Jacob said, "I will let you go if you bless me." Why would Jacob just ask any old person to bless him? He must have had an inkling who this was. The man said to him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." And then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, Your name will now be Israel, because you have wrestled with God and with people, and you have won. Jacob spends the night wrestling with a stranger who turns out to be God, who would not be Jacob, so he put his hip on point. And God tells Jacob to let him go. And Jacob curiously nuts out of the world, and he blessed him. And God asks this strange question, what is your name? Okay, here's a question. Do you think God doesn't know your name? God knows all our names. They're written on the palm of his hand, remember? God knew who this was. Why was he asking Jacob, what's your name? Let's see what he did there. He says his name is Jacob. And God gives Jacob a new name, Israel, which means one who has wrestled with God and men and won. They say this might have been Jacob's conversion experience. It was a moment he faced with honesty. Who he was. Not just what his name was, but deep down inside, who he was. You see, Jacob for 20 years did not use his name. You know why? Because his name meant deceiver, cheater. Wow. What a way to name your child. He actually, it said that his, when he came out, he was holding on to the heel of his older brother. And so for that reason, his mother decided to call him Jacob, but it meant deceiver and cheater. And he didn't like using that name because it reminded him. It reminded him that he deceived his brother, he deceived his father, he even deceived his father-in-law. Don't believe me? Go on past this chapter and find out, or before this chapter, you'll find out what happened. It's right around 29-30. So, here's what we learn. Jacob faced with honesty, something he had not done for 20 years. Who he really was. And then he experienced God's blessing, and in that process he got a new name. Guess what? It works for you and I as well. Jacob gives us a formula for honestly facing who we are, so that we can receive the blessing that God wants to give us, and we can own the new name that God has for us. Which Jonah's already told us what it was. I love that, Jonah. You were reading my mail. See, I think she was studying the same thing I was this week. You'll find out in a little bit. Now, in order for change to happen, we need to face up honestly to ourselves who we are. We learned this from Jacob's life. We learned that his name means cheat or deceiver. He lived his life by trickery and by deceit. You might not have seen that on the outside. He may look like anybody else on the outside. He knew who he was on the inside. Don't we all? Don't we all know who we are on the inside? Not that we're proud of it. The turning point in Jacob's life came when God asked him that very pointed question. What is your name? Go ahead, own it. Tell me who you really are. When he told God, my name is Jacob, he was admitting who he was. He was being honest. Not just with God. God knew who he was being honest with himself. Don't we fail to do that a lot? I couldn't have said that. I couldn't have done that. You're that kind of person. And then God shows us the video playback. Maybe. Jacob was becoming real. He was facing up to what he had done to earn the name he had. So lesson one. God cannot transform us if we do not willingly reveal ourselves, who we really are from the inside out. God can't make a change unless we're willing to let go of who we really are. We can't hide it. If you want to change the you that you hide, you must tell God who you really are. Lay it all out there. Your anger, your fears, your critical and gossipy side, your prejudices, your dishonesty and deception, your lustful desires, your addictions. Put them all out there for God to know and see. He already does. More importantly, do you? God will never force you to become your best self. God will challenge you to get real with the question. What is your name? Who are you? Really? Second, when we face up to who we really are, we open our lives to God's blessing. Oh, thank God for that. Before Jacob's encounter with God, we're told that he was scared half to death. But he knew he needed to face this. When God asked him, "Who are you?" Jacob owned up to his true identity. "I am Jacob, the deceiver, the cheat." If you want God to bless you, you need to face up to yourself. Honestly. Confess it to God. Maybe to someone else. Robert was a man who was living a lie. He had a good job. He had a wife and two children who loved him. And then one day, Robert showed up at my office. He wanted to know if he could talk with me. And I said, "Sure, come on in, have a seat." And he sat down, and it had me 4 or 5 minutes. He said nothing. And I just waited. I don't know what's coming. And then he let it all spill. He had a good job. Where he made some money he maybe didn't earn because he cheated on his time card and other things. He'd been cheating on his wife. And he'd been gambling away the family's savings, betting on sports teams, on games. And his wife didn't know. And Jacob, there it is. Robert couldn't live with himself anymore. He couldn't do it. So he said, "I don't know what to do." We talked some, and then I sent him home. I said, "Do this. I'm a person who thinks that you need to write things down that really significant to you. And you want to see it, you want God to see it." I said, "Go home. Write a letter to God. Tell him all that you just told me, the things that you've done that you shouldn't have, and who you really are." And he came back a few weeks later and showed me the letter. And I said, "Now, can you read it aloud to God? Have God here?" He did. And then I told Robert, "I believe that God forgives you. And I believe God has something else in store for your life if you're ready for it." And he turned his life around. It's possible. Robert received God's blessing when he became an honest employee, an honest husband, true husband. Lesson 2. When you face up to who you really are, you open yourself to God's blessing. And that blessing is when you change your life and you're not living in the shadows anymore. And you're not trying to hide things about yourself. That's the blessing. Third, when you face up to the authentic you, God will give you a new name. A new name. My name is Kathleen, says it is. I don't know what that's about. You see, the name that your parents gave you, that's not going to change. But you will have a new identity, just like Robert did. Your new identity tells you that no matter who you are or what you've done, God has a new future for you. You are not defined forever by your past sins and mistakes. Did you hear that? You are not defined forever by your past sins and mistakes. I learned that years ago. I'm so grateful I did. Because those past sins and mistakes that hold you down and weigh you down and keep you from moving forward and doing more good for God. It doesn't have to be that way. God told Jacob, "Your new name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." You know what Jacob did? He began to live up to his new name. He stopped being deceitful. He stopped cheating. He became more humble. When he eventually met up with his brother Esau, he bowed down to Esau 7 times. Do you know what that means? That's symbolic. That is a humility, and that is asking for forgiveness 7 times. So do you know your name? Joan told us. John, 1 John 3, chapter 1. "How great is the love the Father has poured upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Your true name is God's beloved. Isn't that wonderful? If you're struggling with low self-esteem, low self-worth, if you think your past sins and your past mistakes are too great for God to forgive them, for God to give you a new name, if you find it difficult to hear God calling you beloved, you might want to try this prayer exercise. Find a place and a time when you can be alone with God. No distractions. you and God. Get away from the television, get away from all your electronic stuff, get away from the telephone, just you and God. And then, when you're there, ask God's Spirit to be with you, to assure you of your new name, God's beloved. And then, close your eyes and imagine yourself. Imagine yourself kneeling at the cross with Jesus above you. As you look at Jesus, he looks at you and he whispers, "You are God's beloved. Look at my cross. See how much I love you. See how much you are forgiven. Your name is written on the palm of my hands." Can you picture that? Can you picture what it must be like? God asks you today, "What is your name?" Can you honestly tell God who you really are, knowing that God will give you a new name, God will give you a new identity? Are you ready for that? Don't be afraid of it. Next Sunday, what are you doing here? It's based on 1 Kings